This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
We don't want to keep stressing about it, but it's inevitable. Stress on the farm, and that was part of the focus at the recent Penn State Ag Progress Days with Pennsylvania Secretary of Agriculture Russell Redding.
The centers have come together. We have taken a lead position with our House and Senate Ag Committees to try to put some voice and some substance to stress and talking about it, socializing that, but also having resources there in the event that there's a need for it, right? More than just saying that there's a problem and acknowledging the problem, it's trying to find some solution to or a resource for those who are experiencing that problem. And that's what the AgriSafe network is. It's why we have a PhD nurse helping us. It's why we've got Penn State Extension, and importantly, tying that in around the country. So the other states who are doing similar work, we have access to that. They have access to it. So it's more than simply, you know, putting that in a convenient spot.
Tuesday.
Heather White, Associate Professor in Nutritional Physiology at the UW-Madison, discuss more about optimal feed efficiency.
Something that's really unique about this effort, there's a geneticist and a nutritionist at each research station that's working on it, analyzing and quantifying every amount of energy the cow takes in and every amount of energy that she puts out. So when we do these studies, we've determined back from the USDA grant that 45 days is a pretty sound period of time for the selection. We're determining everything that she eats. We're doing a lot of feed analysis, individual feed intakes, whether that's in a tie stall or in a kaling gate, which is an electronic gate where every one cow has her one spot at the table, if you will, that she can eat from in the bunk. Or at Arlington, those of you who have seen our facility, we have Insyntech feeding gates, which are big blue bins of feed. And we can determine that cows can have access to one of these all the way up to all 32. So we have a lot of power to manipulate.
Wednesday.
We have exhibitors here today from New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, the New England states, Vermont, New Hampshire. So we are growing and we all enjoy Guernsey animals. But this is a great venue to come and exhibit your animals and have Guernsey fellowship. Guernsey breeders love their calves. You know, we love our animals. A lot of people will tell you it's temperament. I think it depends on the animal, like anybody, and perhaps the owner. I grew up with Guernseys, so I favor Guernseys. I enjoy showing Guernseys. But I think more importantly, anybody you have here, especially I will speak for myself, I enjoy a good cow and I enjoy a correct cow. I love cows that are correct and are pretty, but I also enjoy a cow that's everything in the whole package. And some of my best friends will laugh at me when they tell me you like pretty cows, but I have learned over the years that you not only need a pretty cow, you need a functional cow who milks and has a great set of feet and legs if you're going to make it.
Thursday.
It's hard to believe that seasons are changing, and soon it'll be World Dairy Expo in Madison. That's our producer spotlight today with the National Dairy Producers Organization and Deborah Mills. And Deborah, you'll be at the World Dairy Expo in Madison this year with a booth for NDPO, correct?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're very excited to be at the 55th World Dairy Expo. And this year's theme is essential elements. So I can't think of a more essential element than the NDPO membership. And we're thrilled to be going back to the World Dairy Expo. And we look forward to the opportunity to visit with the NDPO members and dairymen and women from across the globe. An interesting fact about NDPO is that it was actually founded at the Tulare Farm Show in California in 2010. So we're making an effort to and commitment to be where the producers are.
Friday.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum. And we're going to talk a little bit about forage sorghum. A renewed interest in forage sorghum primarily because it takes less water compared to corn silage. About a third less water. In some parts of the United States, water for irrigation is being restricted and therefore looking at alternative crops as well. Their data would suggest we look at the quantity and quality that the forage sorghum in spring planting was superior in value to any other treatments there. The forage sorghum had a higher quality index, not as good as corn silage, but sorghum did have a higher value compared to the sorghum sedan grass. Again, that probably reflects a little bit how that crop is being managed. There, of course, if it gets in lower quality, it fits well for dry cows and older heifers that have to fill the forage. So farmers should consider this as an alternative forage crop that may work in their area, depending on the growers and season, the type of soils they have.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to dairyradio.com.
Dairy Rewind.